TI, roar and shout for Pastor Sean Malarkey.
Bless you guys. Praise the Lord. What a fantastic night. Chris, you've got some movie voice. Well, not a movie voice. Absolutely love that. I'm so blown away by just the consistency of what God has been saying and just all the things that he's been confirming. And you're going to see in a few moments the way he's just going to bring the threads together and what you've heard at Senior Lead and those of you that have been here now for this meeting this evening. I'm just blown away. Can't wait to get to the word. But before I do, just to lift up your heads to this that's coming down the track. So this is happening. You'll see it on the calendar that's under your backside, bottom, whatever way you like to say it. And it's called Maybe. During the month of May, one of the things that we were fascinated about as we grew as a movement and grew within our churches was we were fascinated how few churches didn't have a global missions outlook, vision, or a practical way to express global mission. So we partnered with Compassion. Glory to God. And so one of the other things that we've been totally blown away by is the fact that a lot of churches don't have evangelism at the top of their list, or anywhere on their list. And so churches go through the, is it okay to say motions every Sunday, still praying for revival, believing for revival, not really getting it that they are the key to revival and to bringing those people into church. And so praise the Lord, what we have is this movement that is going to be starting through CCI. We went to Evangelical Alliance, Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland. We went to Crown Jesus Ministries. And so during the month of May, over the coming years, we're going to encourage churches during the month of May to have an evangelism focus. We're going to pray that the church in Ireland wakes up to the amount of lost people that live next door to their churches. We're going to believe that God is going to do something with churches working together outside of CCI, all churches, with a heart and a focus to reach the lost during the month of May. See, the month of May is a month where things aren't really happening. It's kind of after the busyness of, you know, stuff, Christmas, Easter, then there's May, and then there's summer. And so we said, why don't we focus on May, and maybe if we join together and we create evangelism resources and we encourage churches and we give them practical tools and we be in this together, maybe those people that you work with, do school with, go to college with, stand at the bus stop with, they could get saved. Maybe if you invite them to church, and it's just to stir what could be. And so it's just going to be, I know loads of churches are brilliant at evangelism, loads of them do it throughout the year, loads of them do services that think of the lost every single Sunday, but it's amazing how few churches do, and still people are being lost. And so we just want to, as a movement of churches throughout the land, have a focus. Please God, it'll be every month of the year, but we're going to start with May, and have a focus, just we say, hey, listen, this is what we're about, and this is what we love. We are going to move on. Here's my sermon title today, Dare to Move On, Dare to Keep Moving. I think that we are living in incredible days, and it's so exciting to see many, many leaders here this evening. And I pray that next Planting Heaven, because of the quality of what's been presented to you, you will bring your team with you next year. I believe in Jesus' name that this can only get bigger and better, because God is with us and God is for us. We're not the only answer to Ireland, but we are a conduit, a vessel through which Ireland will be blessed. And so be part of the movement and be part of all that God is going to do in and through us. We live in days where there is just too much offense. Too much offense. And one day, for no particular reason, we became offended by everything. When you think about all that's going on in this world today, there are people that are living offended, or there are people living in fear of offending someone. And what I want you to know is that when you live under offense, or when you live in fear of offending people, or being an offense, that makes you the crippled man. Amen. That stops you being a movement right there. That stops you moving. You're just going to lie there. You're just not going to be anywhere near what God intends for you. But we are a Pentecostal movement. We are a movement of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that God wants us to keep moving to advance His glory and to bring His kingdom to planet Earth. That is our passion. That is our heart. That's what makes us distinctively who we are. Myself and Brian had the privilege of being in America a few months back, and we got to go to the Flower Heritage Center. The Flower Heritage Center is the Assemblies of God Museum, and it was fascinating to see the heritage and where all of this started. And praise the Lord, here we are now, Christian Churches Ireland 2020. But when you look at it, and you look at the pictures, and you look at the accounts, it is fascinating to see that the Assemblies of God in its founding days, we all know about the meetings and the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. That's our bread and butter. But what fascinated me was the diversity within the churches. It was a movement that blew the lid of just one color churches. They had them combined. People of all social strata and all colors were in the churches from the get-go. Praise God. This is our heritage. I'll tell you another thing that was incredible was women in ministry. Women in ministry was there at the very, 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 very beginning. And it was something that was so important to the movement. And I love that about our movement. And you know another thing that absolutely blew me away, and I couldn't wait to go home to tell my children this. You're all waiting, aren't you? It was the thing about the care of the earth. The care of the earth. An International Earth Day, which is now under the auspices of the United Nations, started by a Pentecostal Assemblies of God preacher. He started International Earth Day because he felt compelled by the scripture that we were to be stewards of what God had given us, planet Earth. Glory to God. And so as I take a drink from my plastic bottle, God forgive me. God forgive me. We're working on that. We're working on that. I love this. I don't know if you can read this at the top. The 1300s, I'm dying of black plague. The 1800s, I'm working 16 hours a day. The 1900s, I'm off to war. The 2000s, I'm offended. I'm offended. Listen, I hope this doesn't offend you. Please, if that potato was offending you, I am so sorry. On behalf of CCI, we apologize. It feels like people are offended by absolutely everything. What sort of potato is it? Has it converted? Is it a Muslim potato? I don't know. I'm so offended by this potato. I don't know what's going on with me. You see, what we understand about offense is that offense can only be taken. So stop taking it. And it'll just change your life. For those of you that think it's just gone to the basics, this is just to get your mind working. I'm offended that you're offended by me taking offense at your offensiveness. Just to keep our deep thinkers going for a moment. No one is exempt from offense. We live in a world of offense. Someone is going to shame you. Someone is going to outrage you. Someone is going to insult you. Someone is going to humiliate you. Someone is going to get you offended, hurt, angry, feeling violated. Your pride will be insulted. We are people who expect light from darkness. We expect people in darkness to live lives that won't offend us. And then we live in offense. Where is our expectation gone? Why are we believing for things that are impossible and not believing for things that are impossible? Because God is the God of the impossible, and it's incredible what he can do. In Luke 17, verse 1, it says, Jesus turned to his disciples. It is impossible. This is the New King James. It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they come. And so offense is going to come and offense will happen. I took this note down on December the 10th. I don't know where I read it, so forgive me that I don't have the source. We've all met Christians who mock and quarrel, are quick to take offense, deceive themselves and others, pursue superficial self-gain, and who blame God and others for the bad outcomes of their own bad decisions. Often we've been like that ourselves. Left unchallenged. The lack of higher purpose behind these habits will deny us our destiny as shalom bringers to our world. No one is exempt from offense. There's not a person in here who hasn't been offended. There's not a person in here who hasn't been offended in church by someone in church, by someone you looked up to, by someone you leaned on, by someone that you loved, by someone that you felt was there for you. There is no one in this church, in this place this evening, that cannot relate to that offense that has come. Tonight, I just want to very briefly look at the good, bad, and ugly side of offense, see what to watch out for, see why it stopped you, and to see how we can use it as fuel to move on. dare to move on. This is what God intends. Pastor Julie said earlier in her presentation to us in the senior lead, we have not prophesied over the mental health narrative for fear of offending people. And so we refuse to even raise our voices in the whole sphere of mental health, or as was said earlier by Pastor Stewart, in the whole area of politics and the whole area of sexuality. We're not raising our voices anymore for fear of offending, and we're stopping in our tracks when God wants us to be a movement. Not a movement that brings offense, but that brings the balm and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not to be a people who stop in our tracks because we're afraid of offending someone. We're going to turn to Matthew 15, verse 1 to 28, because I believe leaders can cope with more than one passage of scripture. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus replied, "It's because they're from Dublin." No, he didn't. And he said, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say it that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites." Amen. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, this is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" And Jesus, very, very concerned, replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Pause button for a second. Can you see that statement there that says, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up"? Praise the Lord. I just saw this. And I just want to encourage all of our church plants. You see, the opposite is true in the kingdom of God. Every plant that our heavenly Father has planted will be established. This is really, really key. There are people here that need to be encouraged tonight about your plant. And what God has planted in you is a promise. It will not be uprooted because it's from the Father. And so you need to be encouraged today that what God has planted, He will establish. He will make sure the roots go down and that you're there for the long haul. Amen. Verse 15, Peter said, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus, meek and mild and not wanting to offend anyone, said, "Are you still so dull?" Moving on. Jesus asked them, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands." Don't get your knickers in a twist about that. Verse 21, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, she's annoying us. She keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. Actually, I was reading a commentary and it said, she didn't say it the way I just said it. She said it like this: "Yes, it is, Lord." She was emphatic in her faith. She was pressed into God. She was not going to let anything stop her getting to God. She said, "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Lord, we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Here's a few facts. Too many people in churches get offended on someone else's behalf. We have the disciples here, and they're coming to Jesus, and they're saying the Pharisees were very offended. We're not told that the Pharisees said anything about being offended, but the disciples have picked up on their offense, and now they're carrying the offense of the Pharisees. The amount of people that are in our churches that are carrying defense of someone else that either left, didn't like you, didn't like your preaching style, didn't like the church, didn't like the worship, didn't like where you were going, and people are leaving movements and churches because they took on the offense of someone else who left. Scary, dare I say pathetic, but human, and just a reality, and real, and it's the way it goes. Inherited offense is harder to get rid of than the person who's already probably forgiven the pastor anyway, and you're still carrying that offense. Inherited offense can absolutely stop you moving on, because you've taken on something that wasn't yours to carry. God never asked you to carry it. It didn't even happen to you, but you're carrying this. Carrying this on behalf of someone else, as if it's somewhere stoic. It's very, very noble of you. Did no one care for you? I'll care for you. I'll take on your offense. God didn't ask you to take on or carry the offense of someone else. There's so much going on in this world. You've enough to carry off your own load. Amen. Don't be carrying someone else's offense. Be there for them. Bless them. Love on them. Care for them. When they're bad talking or down talking the church or the pastor, you can stand and go, well, look, I'm not going to go down that road with you, but I will be here for you and I will bless you. But don't take on their offense, because it's just not wise and it's not profitable for moving on. And God wants us moving on. It's not that we don't care. It's just that we don't care about taking on someone else's offense. Amen. There was the whole offense of lack of progress. And this is something that we were really challenged by Stuart in the earlier session. The whole thing of my health spiritually as a child of God, but also the health of the church, and how facts are friends, and how numbers can point to the health of the church and how it's really doing. And sometimes we don't really recognize how Jesus really expected pilgrims to progress, and how Jesus expected fruit trees to bear fruit. Amen. And so he's walking by a fig tree and it's not bearing fruit, and so Jesus curses it. And this doesn't fit in with our meek and mild, you know, Jesus, you know, his little lips pursed and he's blessing. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for that image. So we read quickly by these scriptures where Jesus comes across as being harsh, because we don't know where to put it, or we don't know how to cope with it, because we get so offended so easily. And so Jesus turns to these guys and he is absolutely, Jesus is offended by their lack of progress. And Jesus goes, are you still so dull? Can I give you the top 13 ways that would have been said if Jesus was a dub? Being so dull. This is actually on a website in Dublin. Number 13, you big dope. Number 12, you Egypt. And the bigger the Egypt, the more ease. You Egypt. Flute, you total flute, number 11. Number 10, you spanner. Number 9, you cabbage. Number 8, you gombean. Number 7, you amadon. Number 6, you head the ball. Number 5, you complete donkey. Number 4, you muppet. Number 3, you plank. Number 2, you thick. And number 1, it begins with gob. And I don't know, gob sugar? God, I'm not sure what. It was. Jesus is offended by lack of progress. Jesus is offended by lack of progress. And he cannot get to grips with the fact that he can't get it, that his guys haven't got it. Jesus says things like, after you've been with me such a long time, how long will I contend with you? How long will I put up with you? How long? This is our Jesus, meek and mild. And he's speaking into the heart of the issue. And he's trying to stir up his brothers and sisters that are following him. And he's trying to encourage them and bless them. But it sounds quite offensive what Jesus is saying. And I wonder if Jesus could have got away as a minister of the gospel with turning to a group in his church any given Sunday and saying, why are you so thick? Why are you so dull? How long must I contend with you? You know, we see Peter, and he has a fantastic revelation. It's an amazing revelation. God has come, the Spirit has moved. He has been chosen as the one through whom divine revelation comes to. He has recognized that Jesus is the Son of God. Surely, Peter, heaven has showed this to you. And then we just read on a couple of lines, and next thing, Jesus turned to him and saying, "Get ye behind me, Satan." Did you ever, now I'm sure you were tempted as a leader to say that to someone that came up to you after a preach, but we've never said that to anybody, because there's just this hardness and this love, and we want to represent Christ meaningfully, and we know that this is in a particular context. But I just want us to grasp that a spirit of offense, not just is something that stops us moving, but if we keep continually living in an atmosphere of offense, causing offense, worrying about people that might be offended, we are never, ever going to move. And God loves us so much that even at times, God will use the grit on our journey to really begin to shape us and mold us, because he's making a pearl out of us and we can't even see it at times. And I just want you to know, my brother, my sister, I am so sorry that you were offended. I am so sorry that you had to go through that journey of the soul and that heart was broken. But God wants to use that in order to propel you on and fuel you into the next part of your journey. God is mighty. The spiritual reality, offended by the spiritual reality. So the lady comes, and leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. What is fascinating about this is that Jesus is in Gentile country. This could be quite dangerous. Jesus should be nice because he's not surrounded by his own people. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity comes to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon possessed." Jesus did not answer a word. The disciples come, they're annoyed, they're frustrated, "Get her away from us." And then Jesus said, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Now, Jesus is actually being offensive to Israel there. He's describing his own people as lost sheep. And the disciples aren't even copping that that is the way that Jesus is describing his own. They just want to get this Gentile, this dog, away from them. This is what they've grown up with. This is their prejudice. This is what they're thinking. But sheep need constant attention and protection. They're helpless, defenseless, and easily influenced animals. Calling God's people sheep is not a compliment. It's the spiritual reality. And so God will consistently come to my life, and he will tell me what the spiritual reality is. And a lot of times I won't like it, but most times I need it. The scriptures are a mirror showing me what I'm really like, who I am, and what I have a problem with. The Holy Spirit is continually bringing conviction whenever I step out of line, think thoughts I shouldn't, or do stuff that I shouldn't do. Consistently, God is trying to stop me from moving into things that I do anyway, and then I get offended when someone points that out to me. Why? It's extraordinary the way that we have just sought to protect ourselves, to just hide ourselves in cotton wool, to just surround ourselves in bubble wrap in the hope that we just get through this. But God wants us fruitful, and God wants us effective, and God wants us doing things that even are beyond our thinking and our wildest dreams. And if we keep living in the land of offense, and if we keep being offended by every offense, we are never going to march into all that God has in store for us. And that's all that I'm trying to stir within us this evening. People then that are offended by harsh prejudice. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What a blessing it is to see this woman's heart not put off by something that expressed the harsh prejudice of the day towards Gentiles that was expressed through Jews. The Jews saw the Gentiles as dirty, filthy. They're complete dogs. And then we know the where women came in society in those days. So to be a Gentile woman, you can imagine the pecking order that they saw her on. They're trying to get her away from Jesus. She's annoying us. She's frustrating us. Can you not tell her to go away? And yet Jesus uses her as the example of great faith in the scriptures. This Gentile woman who could have left this reference and this page by turning around offended. But she stayed on. Because she recognized the master, the son of David. She recognized that even if I get crumbs from his table, that is better than everything the Gentile world can offer me. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. So here is some home truths as we just begin to land this. Religion is always offended. Always. The Pharisees will always be offended. Taking offense is evidence of a lack of love. Giving offense and being offensive is also evidence of a lack of love. But I just want to talk about taking offense for a moment. You see, when I'm in my family, we have incredible family. I have two brothers, I have a sister, I have mum and dad. We have in-laws, then I have my own children. I have two daughters and two sons. Praise the Lord, I'm married to the beautiful Susan. I'm very, very, very blessed. But there's times that we talk to each other and we tear strips off each other. I know it doesn't happen in your family. It's only our family. We're weird. We get offended by potatoes. We're mad. But in our family, sometimes we speak and we say things. And if it wasn't from someone that we loved, and if it wasn't from someone that we know loves us, we would take offense. And so whenever someone speaks something and we get offended by it, that's evidence of a lack of love. Right there, that's evidence. And so if we are living offended, that is showing that we are not loving the lost, loving the world, loving people who've been mean to us, loving those who persecute us, blessing those who even hurt our bodies. It shows that we're miles off from the heart and the kingdom that Jesus espouses. And so dealing with offense is actually just a first step back to being the kingdom of God people God wants us to be. Because if indeed we are moving into days of persecution, be it intellectually or politically or whatever, we need to deal with offense today. Yeah. We need to get ready and get our hearts bigger and just more stretched, because things are coming down the track where you might be dragged before courts by people that you know and love. You might have days where your own children turn against you. Whatever the manipulation of the world or the spirit of this world or the culture of this world, we need to be sure that we're not stumbled by or stopped by offense, because there will be plenty of offense coming down the track. Don't expect light from darkness. Don't be offended if dark people behave like dark people. They need to know Jesus. They need to come into the light. We need to move into a new day where we have a freedom and a liberty to be all that God has called us to be, but also to be a people that know, I'm not going to get offended by this, Lord, because it's only going to stop me and it's only going to distract me from being who you need me to be in this hour, in this time for our world. May God help us. You see, the religious and the religious in me will always be offended. Offense will always be taken. I know that I'm offended when hatred grows in me, when I think that the best answer would be, Lord, could you just pour down fire from heaven and burn those people up? This is showing a lack of love on my behalf. This is what God wants to move us away from. Sometimes when I hear Christians talking about what we should do with certain races of people or with certain other religious factions, it frightens me to think that they are looking at the same Bible I'm looking at. God wants to bless these people. God wants to show them his love, and we're it. Where there's love, there's grace. Grace to forgive and grace to move on. So brothers and sisters, if church is truly family, if CCI is truly family, and it's made up of people like you and me, and we truly love each other, well then, if you see something in me that you need to correct or that you need to point out that could lead to my destruction, please, don't worry about whether I'll be offended, but pull me aside and pull me up in it, please. Because it's more critical that I'm pulled up before something destructive happens than to be destroyed and then for you to gloat about how I wasn't the minister and you always knew that anyway. This through the years of being a Christian, whenever someone falls, you will always have people say, oh, no, I always knew that. I always knew that. One of the saddest things ever. You did always know that. The prophetic gift, or you knew it just instinctively, whatever it was, you knew that and you didn't speak to them. You didn't pull them up on it. You didn't question them. You didn't ask why you're meeting that lady on your own. She's not your wife. You didn't ask why you're going to that place and into that place. You know, you're not strong enough as a Christian there. You're not going to be able to resist temptation in there. Why are you swigging a bottle of wine every night and saying that you're full of the joy of the Lord? You're not in any way. Why is all of this going on? And I saw it, or I knew about it, or I heard about it, or I was worried about it, and I never went face to face with you. Because one, I didn't want to offend you or me with your reaction. Or two, I just wanted someday to see you fall and then gloat and say, I knew that was going to happen. In church, let's not be religious by being permanently offended. Let's not take on other religious people's offense or perceived offense. How many brilliant, creative church plans have been stopped by a team member in a small room saying, so-and-so won't be happy with this. If we do this, so-and-so won't be happy. You know, God has given you the ability to fish for men and for women. And sometimes you're going to use different fishing rods, and sometimes you're going to use different types of hooks. Use them anyway. You might catch a different type of fish. You might catch a fish in salt water, and the next time it won't be in salt water. You might catch a big fish, or you might catch tons of tiny fish, but you're still catching fish. And may the Lord bless your creativity, and may your creativity never be stopped just because someone was thinking about a perceived offense that someone might have. In Jesus' name. You know, what was so sad about this encounter with religious Pharisees was that no one was offended by what was truly offensive. Jesus gave a list, and no one was offended by this. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. The disciples were more concerned about the offense of the Pharisees than they were about the offensive stuff going on in their world. Whoa. Small children are easily offended. Seek growth. Mommy, Jimmy said I have a square head. Teacher, Orla took my crayons. Master, Des said he's a Liverpool supporter. He's offended me. He's totally offended me. He's wrecked my head. Jesus, meek and mild, he wouldn't hurt a flea. Why are you so dull? Why are you so thick? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. I put childish things behind me. Ephesians 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Oh, brilliant. We're talking now Assemblies of God. We're talking Pentecostal language here. People are perking up. Praise the Lord. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Become mature. You know, what I find humorous about that is that we have so many Pentecostals these days going around. Where are the preachers? Where are the preachers of the 1800s where they'd preach and the fire would fall from heaven? Where are the prophets? And God is walking around going, where's the maturity? Where's the maturity? Isn't it extraordinary? We will take things. And we will make arguments and go into offensive lines of argument. And we're missing the point. God wants us to reach maturity. He wants us to attain to the fullness of God. It doesn't say here, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so we could start a movement called Assemblies. It says that he wanted people to attain to the fullness of God, to be built up, and for people to reach maturity. This is why all of these gifts should be in operation in the church. Not so we can start a distinctive movement, but that the Christian church can grow up and be mature. Offense is such a distraction. Seek not to be a small child anymore under the weight of your offense, but seek growth. The truth will always hurt. It's the reality. The truth hurts. Leaving that place, we see that Jesus was in a different vicinity and he is speaking what he sees to be the truth. He is speaking the truth about the nature of his own people And he's speaking the perceived truth, the fashionable truth about the Gentiles from a Jewish perspective. And the truth hurts. Facts don't lie. But do we really, really, really want the truth about the condition of our spiritual walk? And do we really, really, really want the truth about the condition of our churches and their spiritual health? Do we really want the truth about the condition of our sheep in our churches? Or is it too much hassle or too much work? Are we big enough to be offended by truth? Because truth offends. We all know this. It's when we're reading our daily devotional and we get before the Lord and there's scriptures that we mull over and that we underline and then there's scriptures that we read really, really, really fast. Because we know it's saying something that's just getting us. It's stirring us. It's there to hit on us and to hurt us. Dare to embrace offense that comes from truth. But truly let go of offense that comes from lies. There is a difference. And lastly, brothers and sisters, let's not expect light from darkness. Let's not be offended when dark people behave like people in darkness. Let's understand that the God of light has called us to be light. And if we live offended, we're going to live more like them than we are like Jesus. And so we need to understand that even though the world will offend, and even though there'll be massive offenses that will be spoken about the church and the condition of the church and how the church is so judgmental and how the church is so unwelcoming and how the church is old hat, it's old fashioned, no one goes to church anymore. Even though we're going to hear this narrative from the world, we will speak the narrative from heaven. We will speak the word of God over our nation, amen. We will speak the word of God over our island and we will say, no. The kingdom of God is coming. And God is going to stir us. And so for those that like to be inspired by someone, I want us to be inspired by the Canaanite woman this evening. I want us to be a people who fix our eyes on Jesus. We recognize that he is the Son of David. We recognize that he is the Messiah. She had more recognition of it than the Pharisees did and even the disciples at that stage. She knew that Jesus had it and he was it. She kept the real need as her focus. She wanted that demon-possessed child to be delivered, to be healed, to be saved. Is your focus still on those people that drew you into ministry? You came into ministry with a passion, with a drive. You had your heart on those who were sick. You had your heart on those who were lost. You had your heart on those who were tormented. And God is calling people who will press in and let offense go by. Even if someone calls you a dog, you're going to press in. Because you have such a heart for the broken, for the person who needs healing, for the person who needs salvation, for the person who needs deliverance. She was so focused on the need and the need of the one that she loved that no offense was going to stop her. And so whatever it was, there are people in this room. There are people in this room and you were amazing evangelists. You were amazing evangelists and somewhere offense got in. Somewhere along the way, a fence got in. It stopped you in your tracks. There are people in this room, and you just had such a heart and such a heart for healing and such a belief that the Lord was going to break out in the realm of healing in such a deep and powerful way it was going to knock your socks off. And somewhere along the way, you got offended, and it quietened your spirit, and it stopped you being the man, the woman of faith that God had in store for you to be. I pray in Jesus' name that as you lay offense aside this evening, that you will begin to refocus on Jesus and on the needs Jesus put you on earth to meet and to flow through you. Stay humble. I've been with different pastors and they're amazing people. And people have come up to them in our presence and said horrible things. And they've turned to them and said, you're probably right. But they kept moving. And so there will be people that call us Egypt. There will be people who say that you're a total numbskull. There are people that will say that you're so foolish to believe in God. There are people who will declare from their intellectual prowess that they know exactly how to put us down and how to keep us at our level. There will be those that feel that they have every answer under the sun to every problem. But what I find extraordinary, the more I go on in life and as the years go by, there's always those people who phone me when they've got trouble. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? There was me stopped in my tracks because of an offense I took from that person years ago. And here's that person now getting in contact with me to check up if I'm still moving in faith. Stay humble, be full of faith, but keep moving. Gonna ask the worship team to come back. Gonna, amen, bless them. Gonna ask, amen. One of the things that I really felt even in preparing this word is that I felt that people would be offended by the word on the fence. And I just want to say to you that the heart of CCI and the heart of the churches in CCI is to make each of us better. And the heart of us is always to contend for each other, to make sure that the potential that is in us will come to fruition, because the Lord loves to bless what is fruitful. And also that there's this desire in God to move us on from childishness to maturity. And it's extraordinary that in 2006 we became a national movement. And it's 2020. We are 14. We are in the teenage years. I have no doubt that we're going to grapple with a few more moods and a bit more tension and a few more offenses. But we're getting to soon be in an organization that in a few years' time will be in adulthood. And I believe that today is a threshold time for us to decide, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to mature. My leadership style is going to mature. I'm going to be someone that just pushes on and keeps moving, because Ireland and the need is too important for me to be there offended or to be stuck in offense. Let's all stand. I just want to tell you what's going to happen now. We have the national leadership team here. We have Pastor Stuart and Julie. We have Pastor Gary and Wilma. We have Pastor PJ. And what we're going to do is we want to anoint everyone with oil. And we believe that as people come forward tonight, and we've got the energy for this. Amen. We've got the energy for this. So, you know, you might have to go, and that's brilliant. But what we want to do is that for people who want to respond just simply because they want to move into a new day, and they want to move into a place where they're saying, hey, I'm letting go of offense and things that were spoken over me, and I'm stepping into a new day. So in faith, I'm stepping forward and being anointed for a new day. But we also want to pray for people who are sick here this evening. We also want to pray for people who just need prayer. And so it's our intention to pray with every single person in this place this evening. May work for you, may not work for you, in the sense that you might need to go, as I say, but our heart is to make sure that every single person is blessed this evening. So in Jesus' name, I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to have worship. Please stay in worship as well. But we want to make sure there's breakthrough tonight in people's lives. I believe in Jesus' name that there will be prophetic words that will be spoken by the team over individuals who just need that word to propel them today. God, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you. Let's lift our hands. I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to thank you for this amazing church that is the body of Christ. I want to thank you, Lord God, for these incredible leaders, for these pastors, for these, Lord God, assistant pastors, associate pastors, executive leaders, ministry leaders, Lord God. I want to thank you for all of the young people here, Lord Jesus, future leaders, potential leaders. Lord, in Jesus' name, tonight, Lord God, we are saying that we know that we will be offended. We know that people will not say nice things about us. We know people will speak behind our backs. We know that not everyone will agree with where we know you're leading us. But Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Spirit, we'll go anyway. We'll keep moving. We'll keep being that movement of the Spirit that you've called us to be. And so, Lord God, we're going to lay aside the shackles, and we're going to put down a fence, and we're going to step into a new day. So, Spirit of the living God, come now, Lord God, and fall afresh upon your people. Fall afresh, Lord God, in such a powerful way, Lord God, that our hearts would expand, our minds would be freed, torment would be lifted, and people would be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Thank you.